Hi, and welcome to Experience Points by University XP. On Experience Points, we explore different ways in which we can learn from games. I'm your host, Dave Eng, from Games-Based Learning by University XP. Find out more by going to universityxp.com. On today's episode, we'll answer the question, what are tactics? Tactics are one of those concepts often discussed by gamers and designers alike, especially when it comes to addressing playstyles, design, and competition. Tactics are often compared to strategy in this regard, but what exactly are tactics and how do they compare against strategy and strategic decisions? This episode will define tactics and strategy and then compare the two in both structure and application. Both tactics and strategy have a specific and special relationship with one another. This relationship often defines the philosophic considerations of what exactly goes into tactical and strategic decision making. Therefore, this area will be explored through several different examples of tactics across different domains. These domains will include tactical examples and approaches in the military, sports, politics, and games. Tactics will also be examined through the lens of game design and the player experience. Furthermore, tactics will also be covered from an educational standpoint and what role they play in games-based learning. So what exactly are tactics? Tactics encompass a specific concept made of discrete actions whose purpose is to achieve a short-term goal. These tactics can often be applied to one or more specific tasks. As such, tactics include a set of methods used to achieve these aims. Tactics can consist of maneuvers and activities which are undertaken to overcome obstacles and exploit opportunities. They are often used to gain an advantage over opponents or competitors. Those opponents and competitors exist in several different tactical domains. Those include business, protest, and military contexts, as well as sports and competitive activities like games. The word tactic originated from the ancient Greek word taktiki, meaning the art of arrangement. As such, tactical considerations rely greatly on arranging actions and activities to the maximum advantage for an individual, team, or organization. If tactics encompass specific discrete actions meant to accomplish short-term goals, then what exactly is strategy and how does it relate to tactics? Strategy is an overall umbrella term that consists of several parts, one of which are tactics. More simply, strategy describes the destination or the goal of what an entity intends to accomplish. Tactics in this framework represents the specific actions that will help achieve that main outcome and the specific steps to take along the way. This means that strategy encompasses more of an action plan. It is a framework for what an entity will do to achieve a critical end goal. This can include career advancement for individuals, hegemony and military dominance for a nation state, market capitalization for businesses, and even winning a board game. An elegant way of defining strategy, according to Richard Rumlett, is that strategy doesn't draw on existing strength. Rather, it finds, creates, and maximizes existing strength to achieve specific goals. Tactics and strategy are often discussed in the same manner. However, it is useful to think about tactics and strategy as relationship based on hierarchy. That's because strategy encompasses a more loosely adapted set of guidelines to achieve an overall objective. Comparatively, tactics and action are activities undertaken to achieve a short-term goal that simultaneously adheres to the guidelines of that strategy. This means that tactics are an essential part of any strategic plan or solution. Tactics represent the smaller and more iterative steps necessary to achieve the larger strategic goal. This means that it is prudent to consider both tactics and strategy, but it is also wise to determine what strategy will require which tactics and what tactics are germane to which strategies. That's because both tactics and strategy must synergize and work well with one another. This is critical in pursuit of an overall objective, as confusing strategy for tactics could be a dangerous and costly mistake. It's easy to think about the hierarchy of strategy and tactics, but perhaps another way to conceptualize the relationship between the two is that both are personalized to individual needs and goals. One example could be with one's own professional development. A career strategy in this example could be to succeed in a specific industry. Tactics considering this strategic goal might include choosing an educational path, selecting a mentor, and developing specific skills to realize this strategic outcome. A more granular examination of this tactical path would further break down each of those tactics into specific activities needed to achieve them. An example includes selecting a university that specializes in graduates who are successful in your chosen industry, connecting with a mentor who is distinguished in the field, and networking with other professionals who have the same skills necessary to succeed in your given industry. Both strategy and tactics exist within a specific and symbiotic relationship with one another. They must complement one another to attain the most meaningful gains. This means that you can develop tactics and strategies based on one or the other. One of the most popular considerations is selecting a strategic goal first and then determining the tactics necessary to achieve that goal. Likewise, one could also determine what tactics they can and are empowered to use, and then determine what strategic goals and outcomes are available to them given those tactics. This is often not an easy choice. That's because even choosing the best strategy won't cover everything that is necessary to achieve your goals. This is compounded by the fact that resources such as time, capital, and social connections are limited and may hinder your overall strategic success. That's where considering what tactics you know, have used, and are most comfortable executing also helps informing your likelihood for achieving your strategic aims. Despite this, many individuals tend to identify a strategic goal and then determine their tactics based on it. Again, an apt analogy is determining your goal, for instance, the destination, and then determining what tactics you will use to achieve it, like a method of transportation, for instance. Those tactical choices represent the operational decisions that are necessary to reach that outcome. Similarly, choosing whether to walk, drive, or fly to a destination represents the same tactical choice to arrive to a specific locale. Choosing to walk to a destination might be the most economic choice, but doing so would cost you more time than you have. Therefore, to save time, you may choose to fly to a destination, which is faster, but also costs more money. This is an example of how choosing the tactics based on your resources and strategic goals affects your overall outcome. In this case, choosing poorly could result in unexpected outcomes and negative consequences. The most successful way to address both tactics and strategy are to consider them two sides of the same activity. They represent what you want and what you will do to achieve it. This is best surmised by the phrase, think strategically, but act tactically. It is also useful to think about how others have addressed the philosophical relationship between strategy and tactics. Lawrence Friedman indicated that, quote, without a strategy, facing up to any problem or striving for any objective would be considered negligent. Certainly, no military campaign, company investment, or government initiative is likely to receive backing unless there is a strategy to evaluate. Unquote. This means that the roles of strategy and tactics are examined in organizational and cooperative circumstances where multiple parties must review and determine the integrity of strategic goals and the tactics necessary to achieve them. Similarly, Edward N. Luttwak wrote in The Grand Strategy of the Roman Empire that strategy, quote, is not about moving armies over geography as it is in board games. It encompasses the entire struggle of adversarial forces, which need not have a spatial dimension at all, unquote. This addresses a key component in strategy and tactics that is a focus of this episode, specifically how tactics impact gameplay, game states, and adversarial relationships. Finally, Richard Rumlett wrote in Good Strategy, Bad Strategy that, quote, the most basic idea of strategy is the application of strength against weakness, or if you prefer, strength applied to the most promising opportunity, unquote. This indicates a relationship of strategy to tactics as well as tactical opportunities. Choosing a strategy doesn't mean that you will be able to foresee and predict all opportunistic events. However, well-aligned tactics allow individuals and organizations to nimbly identify these opportunities and then apply their greatest strengths towards capitalizing and exploiting them. The broad definition of tactics that we've explored so far involves the individual action, activities, projects, or events that help achieve a specific outcome. This is compared to strategies that encompass tactics, but are more broadly scoped to achieve a larger mission and objectives. This means that tactics can be broken down and segmented into different types and varieties that help meet these overall strategic goals. One such delineation includes tactics that are either direct or indirect. This largely depends on whether they involve a direct confrontation, for instance, with a competitor or opponent, or require a more subtle approach, such as with a coalition, an alliance building, or negotiation. Similarly, tactics can also be broken down into offensive or defensive tactics, depending on whether an individual is attacking in a direct confrontation or defending from such a confrontation. These can be further defined as attacking that includes taking or controlling an exclusive interest, such as territory or market share, or defending to protect such interest from offensive tactics. Additionally, tactical effectiveness is defined by their content, use, application, and resources available for competition. These tactics must also align well with the strategic goals in pursuit. Often, tactical conversations reference conflict, military, and combat scenarios. Therefore, it makes sense to first explore and define what we meant by tactics in a military scenario. Tactics in a military context reference the techniques and procedures that combatants use to achieve goals on a battlefield or area of conflict. These can and do take place in multiple landscapes, including land, air, sea, space, and even cyber domains. Perhaps one of the most famous philosophers to discuss military tactics is Sun Tzu, who authored The Art of War, where he indicated, quote, "Strategy without tactics is the slowest route to victory. Tactics without strategy is the noise before the defeat." This further emphasizes the symbiotic role that strategy and tactics have with one another and how the application of one affects the success of the other. Tactics used in military applications vary from using traditional forms of warfare, such as soldiers and troops, to the deployment of guerrilla warfare and even cyber attacks to achieve strategic aims. The effects of these military tactics are mostly driven by other factors such as terrain, weather, and the size and strength of opposing forces. One of the most popular forms of tactics used in military engagement is that of flanking maneuvers, where an aggressor moves and positions units to attack an enemy at their weaker points, such as at their sides or at their rear. Remember, the use and deployment of these tactics is done to achieve a specific and overarching strategic goal. Therefore, the selection and use of tactics without identifying this goal could be detrimental to discovering and establishing a win state for an individual or an organization. Military tactics, like sports tactics, often utilize the same conventions in competing against and defeating an opponent. Therefore, tactics in sports refer to plays and other activities used by athletes and teams to win against their competitors. This is often observed in sports when used to outmaneuver and outplay an opponent to score points and win. Some examples of tactics in sports are to aggressively attack an opponent's goals and overwhelm them with activity so that points can be scored. Likewise, defensive tactics are used by focusing on maintaining possession of a ball to prevent the other team from scoring or controlling how game time is spent. American football is replete with tactics in the forms of playbooks that coaches use to direct team activities and inform players what to do and when to do it. Such a focus outlines and adheres to a team's overall strategy implemented at different points during the game. This can also be seen in other team-based sports, such as basketball, where coaches employ different tactics, such as zone defense and man-to-man defense, to control the pace of play and eventually win the game. Conversely, individual-focused sports like tennis use tactics such as changing the pace of the ball or directing it to an opponent's weaker side to gain a tactical advantage that they can exploit to win games, sets, and eventually matches. Tactics can be employed in multiple venues, politics included. Political tactics are more applicable and relevant based on the current political climate, issues at stake, and ultimately the public's mood. Tactics used in politicking therefore tend to focus on influencing public opinion. Often that means focusing on gaining public and popular support to win more political power, often through elections. This means that political tactics must often refer to the public at large. Therefore, they include things like slogans, staging events like rallies, and even launching negative smear campaigns against political opponents. Ultimately, political tactics serve a political strategy, which is to attain greater political power through appointment or election. Therefore, other tactics that are observed in this arena are the use of endorsements from influential figures or organizations to sway, capture, and influence public opinion. Tactics applied in business and enterprise settings are used by companies to support and achieve their strategic goals, like we've discussed in military, sports, and political arenas. Tactics in businesses therefore mostly focus on increasing sales and improving customer satisfaction, thereby improving the business's operating revenue. Business is often where the terms strategy and tactics get mixed up. therefore reinforcing that both strategy and tactics share an influential role must be reinforced regularly. The relationship between the two is most often seen when businesses attempt to gain a competitive advantage against rivals by differentiating a value proposition or offering a product or service that is demonstrably better than others. However, the use of tactics in a business arena, like others, means that they must often change dependent on market conditions and so long as they work in concert with the business's overall strategic goals. Examples of where businesses' tactics might need to readily adjust and adapt are through the offering of discounts to attract more customers, cross-selling to existing customers, advertising through viral marketing campaigns, or product placement with influential individuals like political tactics. Business tactics often pursue offensive directions such as aggressive and rapid expansion into new markets or to acquire the assets or talent of competitors. Defensive business tactics might focus on improving organization efficiencies through logistics, talent management, and other cost reduction measures. However, like other arenas, measurement of business tactics at face value are not a clear indication of success of an organization's strategy. This is because tactics must remain an actualized version of a business's strategy. Strategy that is often implemented from senior management, whereas tactics are implemented through middle management or individual contributors. Discussion of tactics in warfare, sports, politics, and business brings us to tactics in games. Tactics in games reflect many of the same structures of tactics that we've discussed in these other arenas. Therefore, in tactical games, players must implement their overall strategy through iterative tactical activities to best attain their goals. This is often seen in games that are more tactically focused rather than strategically focused. Tactically focused games concentrate player decisions more on moment-to-moment actions with immediate feedback that informs the player experience, whereas strategy-focused games idealize the long-term aims and plans of players. However, for many games, there exists a certain degree that blends tactics and strategy. This means that many games which focus on both tactics and strategy represent both the operational, iterative actions of players that also influence how players achieve the strategic goal, which is winning the game. Often the best designed games encompass multiple different strategies and tactics that can be used to achieve victory. This can be seen in many 4X games that concentrate on exploration, expansion, exploitation, and elimination that provides multiple paths to victory. Tactical considerations for players serve as a subset of strategy and inform how players approach gameplay to achieve their goals. Therefore, game designers can also interpret how tactics and gameplay influence and affect the player experience. One consideration that influences tactical play is the number and types of resources that players are tasked with managing. The greater variety and types of these resources, the more tactical considerations need to be made for how and when such resources are acquired and consumed. Scythe serves as an example of several different resources that influence players' tactical decision-making. Those include wood, steel, lumber, and oil, as well as both workers and structures. The number and types of these resources influence and affect tactical play, as they must be in the right position at the right time in order to achieve a tactical objective. Likewise, opponents in ortho games simultaneously attempt the same activity. Therefore, play becomes an aspect of determining how and when players can best maximize their own outcomes while minimizing the outcomes of others. Tactics are often discussed in war games. Such games often embody aspects of combined arms approaches to contention and combat. Often this means that multiple types of units and abilities are combined to maximize the potential to inflict damage on an enemy and achieve their goals. This is compared to armies composed of homogeneous units who share all the same characteristic strengths and weaknesses. The makeup of these units may not be the best position to achieve the same goals. Therefore, the composition of players' armies are determined in line with their overall strategy and tactical considerations. We may not always consider it, but teaching, learning, and education accompany their own specific tactical considerations. These tactics originate from instructors and teachers to learners and students alike. Educational tactics could be used to help students learn and retain information. This often embodies different study tactics as well as different methods of practicing and applying new information. Likewise, educators may use tactics like storytelling, interactive learning activities, and visuals to help students understand and relate to complex concepts. Likewise, educational tactics must also consider the greater goals and outcomes of the educational endeavor. This could stem from factors such as learners' ages, skill levels, and established competencies. One of the best tactics for learning, regardless of age, is regularly exploring and experiencing new things. Learners following this format may become more engrossed into different disciplines through distributed practice. This, in turn, helps learners with information retrieval as they are challenged to apply newly learned concepts in different and various situations. Educational tactics are often best implemented when accomplished through learner agency to plan, manage, and adhere to their own structured schedule that allows them time to review material, practice applications, and self-test regularly. This self-testing allows learners to improve their intensity and efficiency of learning over several distributed practice sessions. Furthermore, learners can best take advantage of the learning process by tactically asking themselves their own personal debriefing questions of how and why different concepts appear and how they are presented. This can be combined with the learn and teach exercises where learners must then teach their peers concepts they've acquired themselves to reinforce their own mastery. Overall, a common strategy for learning is to pursue the activity itself for personal enrichment and not pursue tactics only to know information. This can be summarized with the apt phrase, study to learn, not to know. Lastly, we can consider different tactical approaches to the use and application of games-based learning. This is often observed in solutions and models of phenomena within a game environment. This provides concrete information in a visually stylized way that helps to convey concepts as well as relationships in a more approachable manner. This is best seen in games like the Kerbal Space Program that demonstrates orbital mechanics in a gamified platform. The use of simulations and modeling in games also enhances and applies the concept of dual coding, which encompasses combining verbal representations of information, such as words, with visual representations of the same information, such as with pictures, diagrams, graphs, charts, and illustrations. This is often observed in game interfaces where iconography summarizes verbose game information in an overall smaller visual footprint. Additionally, spacing or spreading out of practice sessions through distributed practice helps learning over time. This is observed in games that reward multiple plays where individuals can apply base mechanics in the game over novel circumstances while still reinforcing the same core competencies. A classic game that demonstrates this spaced practice session is Super Mario Bros., where subsequent levels iterate on the basic actions of scroll, move, and jump for the player's avatar, Mario. Overall, games-based learning is an effective tactic when learning is broken up into smaller and more approachable elements. This chunking of larger objectives into smaller tasks represents the heart of how tactical considerations are influenced by greater strategic goals. These smaller tasks help learners to stay focused on the specific tactical outcomes of their assignment. Through this method, they make the best use of their learning time, no matter how much they have dedicated towards it. A collection of shorter and more intense sessions of study, practice, and play are more effective compared to single, longer sessions. Such an approach through games-based learning also helps learners interleave or combine their play and practice of some content with others' ideas and concepts, which could create new and formative ideas and connections. This episode examined tactics from multiple perspectives, arenas, and viewpoints. A definition of tactics and strategy was offered, as well as a comparison between tactics and strategy. The tactical-strategic relationship was discussed, as well as how tactics and strategy can be authored simultaneously in symbiosis with one another. Different tactical examples were offered across various domains. Those domains included military tactics, sports tactics, political tactics, business tactics, and game tactics. This episode closed on tactical approaches for the player experience in game design, educational tactics for learners and instructors alike, and finally, tactical approaches to applied games-based learning. I hope you found this episode useful. If you'd like to learn more, then a great place to start is with my free course on gamification. You can sign up for it at universityxp.com/gamification. You can also get a full transcript of this episode, including links to references in the description or show notes. Thanks for joining me. Again, I'm your host, Dave Eng, from Game-Space Learning by University XP. On Experience Points, we explore different ways we can learn from games. If you like this episode, please consider commenting, sharing, and subscribing. Subscribing is absolutely free and ensures that you'll get the next episode of Experience Points delivered directly to you. I'd also love it if you took some time to rate the show. I live to lift others with learning, so if you found this episode useful, consider sharing it with someone who could also benefit. Also, make sure to visit University XP online at universityxp.com. University XP is also on Twitter at university_XP and on Facebook and LinkedIn as University XP. Also, feel free to email me anytime. My email address is dave@universityxp.com. Game on.